I call Paradise Town Avozi, advisory board meeting to order. Today is February 10th, 2006. Can I get everybody to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have all members present, but Susan Phillips, she is excused. Can I get county staff introductions?
Monica Vasquez, Park County Commissioner, Drew Gibson's office. Jolene Weisfall, Comprehensive Planning.
And I'm Rose on the Commissioner Gibson.
Items on this agenda may be taken out of order. The Board Council may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The Board Council may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to the item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planned and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board County Commissioner, Zoning Commissioner, BCC, or the Clark County Planning Commission, PC, for final action. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and other electronic devices. And if you have any conversations that you need to have, we ask that you respect the speakers, and you can go outside and come back in anytime. It's not a closed meeting. You can come and go. The public comment, this is a period devoted to the comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak as an individual public hearing item at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the Board Council about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on the agenda, you must wait till the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker podium and clearly state your name and address for the record. If the member of the board wishes to extend the length of presentation, this will be done by a chairperson or the board of council by majority vote. Can I get approval for the minutes for January 27, 2006?
Madam Chair, I move to approve the minutes for the January 27, 2026 meeting.
There's a motion on the floor to approve January 27, 2026 minutes. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Can I get approval for the agenda for February 10th, 2026?
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve the agenda for tonight, February 10th, 2026, with no changes.
There's a motion on the floor to approve agenda for February 10th, 2026 with no hold or no changes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Is there any informational items that we need to speak about?
Just one. As of last town board, we do have a resolution to Susan Phillips has resigned from the town board. So I have submitted that resignation to administrative services. We should
okay, go ahead.
So Paradise Recreation Center is having their senior soiree. It's a Mardi Gras theme event. It's going to be a little brunch and get together. So if you know anyone 50 plus that would maybe like to participate in this, have them call 702-455-7503. You can also get more information on this flyer up front. Thank you.
Okay, moving forward to agenda item number one, WS250461, Nelson and Jeremy Katie, who hold over waivers of development standards for the following: reduce setbacks, eliminate building separation, and modify driveway geometrics, my tongue is not working tonight, in conjunction with an existing single family residence of 0.14 acres in an RS5.2 residential single family 5.2 zone, generally located south of Silver Falls Avenue and west of Silverview Street within Paradise. Are you here to come on up? And then the mic's there, and just go ahead and state your name and address for the record.
Jeremy Nelson, 1481 Silver Falls, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89123. I'm going to redo it.
Did you get it for the record?
Or I got it.
Okay. Thank you're you. Good. Go ahead.
Well, I brought all the paperwork that I was told to bring here for the lean-to and all the waivers. Is that something you guys want to look at, or is that that's how I was told to bring it?
Do you have any items that you want to, like pictures that you want to present?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so what we have up right there, if you go to the little white stand right there, you could present it, put it right up there, and then it'll show. There you go. Yeah, thank you.
And what all did you want to look at?
Whatever you want to share that you're asking for the waivers, like you could start with the, you could start with reducing the side interior setback, which if you have an example. It's kind of whatever you want to present to us.
So this would be the front of the lean-to with the height from the left to the right. Be on the left side of the house. This would be the rear part of that same lean-to. It's on the rear side of the house. Same height, but a smaller garage door. Same colors and galvanized steel. And these are the plastic containers that I'm looking for the waivers also, here to here, and here to here. Have a little bit of sodium. And here would be the last plastic container that I'm asking for the waiver for, sitting around the skull, and right next to the wall. Here's the elevations, exterior paint match, galvanized steel, to the north side. The building is not attached to the house. It has a little skeleton frame. Here would be the floor plan, 37 feet long, 7 inches, 11 feet wide. This would be the east side elevation, 15 feet. There's the south side elevation, 16 feet, 15 feet. West side elevation, 16 feet tall. And here's the proof that it was built by a certified contractor. And also the driveway on there. Here would be the overall site plan. And the driveway that they would be talking about is right here. This would be the north side of the house. Any questions on the site plan or anything like that?
As soon as you get done, then we kind of have a process. We'll open it to the public, and then we'll bring it to the board. They'll ask your question. We'll bring you back up, and then, or you can stay right there, and then we'll answer questions at that time.
Okay.
We just want you to do your whole presentation, whatever you want to give the information first.
Okay. Thank you. think that's everything I have that I brought with.
Okay.
Actually, I have the justification letter. Is that something you want me to read?
We have a copy of that, so I appreciate you bringing it, though. Okay. So is there anybody here from the public that would like to speak on this agenda item? Seeing no one, closing it to the public, I'm going to open it to the board. Does anybody have anything they want?
I got a couple of questions. When did that addition go on?
It's gone about a year ago.
It went on about a year ago?
Yep.
Okay, and before you had the permit and everything, you
yes.
put it on there. What about your neighbors to the side where your pitched roof, when it rains, and by the way, when it rains here, it really rains.
Right, I haven't seen no issue with that.
What does your, have you talked to your neighbor at all? I'd be
yeah.
worried about a drainage issue there.
Right, and I was willing to put anything I needed to put on there okay. in drainage and all that.
And what, do you have a picture of the front of your house with that? You just had the picture of the...
I don't think I have the full house with it.
Okay.
Just the addition.
Okay.
Lean to. I can get that. That's something you need.
No, I was just wondering what it looked like.
Okay.
With the addition. And how far is it from the house? You said it's not attached.
It's not attached. It's probably within a half an inch from the house.
So I have a quick question because there was some protest letters. Have you talked to your neighbors? I have two cards and three letters that were protests. I'm gathering it was five. And then you have two that were given to approval. Did you reach out to your neighbors at all?
Yes, all my neighbors except one survivor. They're all actually wanting to get the same thing.
Okay.
They were asking me who built it and how I went about going to get it.
But this wasn't permitted, right?
No, and that's what I'm trying to do now.
So when you show me, can you show me the picture? Do you have a picture of the house actually where
no.
it's sitting? No.
That's
so I think I'm gonna. Is that?
I got the forward.
Because I'm. Can you show me? Can you show me on here the one you were giving the slope on? This is your house. Can you show me where it's sitting? The one that you showed the picture of. It was it.
It's right.
This one, right? Or it's on this side.
Yeah. Where am I? Right there. Yep.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right there.
And that's there now.
Yeah, that's there now, yeah.
How much room is between the house and the shed?
It's like a half an inch. It ain't much right there. It's just kind of connected. It's got its own frame.
So from the standpoint of the fire safety, there's no way anybody can get through there.
Yeah.
They'd have
How
to go
do you
the
get
other
back
side
to
of the property.
To get through.
A smaller shed, I think.
Yeah, it'd be the other side of the property.
But there's two sheds on the other side, right?
Yeah.
Right.
One's a plastic one.
Yeah, there's the
a
plastic.
Holding thing.
Yeah.
But the other shed is kind of a permanent, semi-permanent
This
shed.
One is the only permanent
so,
one.
How much yeah. room was between those sheds on the other side?
Other side? Probably 3 to 4 feet.
3 to 4 feet. Okay.
Access. Because the staff recommends that we approve, that they approve waiver development standards 3 and deny waivers development standards 1 and 2. And I think that's because of the interior
safety.
Setback being so close to where their safety issue is.
The shed's on the other side, I didn't have a problem yeah. with it, except because he has 3 or 4 feet between them, and it looks like he probably has that.
Yeah, and this has doors all the way through. It has three doors.
Yeah, but the other side is totally blocked up.
From the aerial picture, it almost looks like the roof is pitched right onto his yard.
Yeah, it's right there on the bricks right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Okay, does someone want to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I make a motion
just
to...
Just the staff's recommendation.
She's to she's avoid.
To, you want to do
well, go ahead. Speak into the mic so, and then make the motion.
Really, nobody wants to hear me.
No, they do. They want
yeah,
to
I do
them.
Want to hear you.
R-E-N-E-E.
No. Make your...
How can you...
Yes,
Madam Chairman, I would like to make a motion to deny 1 and 2, which is staff, provision with staff's recommendation, and approve item 3.
There's a motion on the floor to approve. You want to just do staff recommendations?
Yes.
Okay. To deny what would be approved with staff recommendations then. So they're making a motion to approve with staff recommendations, right, meaning the item, like she's saying, 1 and 2, if you look on, I think.
To reduce the the setback. It was the denial and the reduction of setback. And
just looking at
to eliminate building separation.
Okay, so
and approve the modified driveway geometrics.
Waivers 1 and 2,
yes,
and approving 3.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, that's what she's saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I just, do you have a copy of this?
Yes,
you have it, right? Good. So we're doing this one, approving and denying and approving this one. So the same as staff recommendations. I just want you to be understanding that.
So
and we're going to take a vote now, and then you'll move forward. You'll move forward to the Clark County
for final for next week.
Yeah.
So that's so reduced setbacks. That would be for the building.
It's whatever you have in your application for waivers of 1 and 2, and 3 we're approving. So 1 and 2 is denied, and 3 is approved. What staff recommend? And it's just we're just a.
So
there's a motion on the floor to approve with staff recommendations. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So you'll move forward. Okay. Okay, item number 2, UC260012 DBJM Las Vegas Boulevard 5.46 LL6 use permit. For the following recreational entertainment facility, number 2, outdoor dining, drinking, and cooking, number 3, live entertainment, and 4, mobile food vendor, and in conjunction with an existing vehicle sales, motorcycle retail, rental, and repair facility on a 5.46 acres in a CR commercial resort zone within the airport overlay, generally located east of Las Vegas Boulevard, south. And south of Russell Road within Paradise.
Hello.
Hi, how are
you? My name is Matthew. I'm from Las Vegas Boulevard. I was told to bring copies of my site plans, elevations.
What's your
last name? Vasquez, V is in Victor, A is in QBC.
Thank you.
So, you guys all have copies of my site plans, landscapes, elevations, floor plans,
can
photos,
you,
and renderings.
Do you have a copy that you can put up
yes,
there?
Yes, I do.
For
where's the map? Where's the map? Oh, I see it.
Oh, I was going to say. It's night. I don't know. Walk off.
Do I present the applications and justification letters?
You're going to do whatever you want to represent for the
perfect
project and the application.
So, well,
I mean, you don't need to go through the actual application unless you choose to.
Okay.
We have copies of that. We just need to know your presentation and what you're asking for.
Okay. So what I'm requesting today is for the Las Vegas Harley-Davidson site to become an entertainment recreational facility. I'd like to have live entertainment, outdoor dining, drinking, and cooking. And then I'd also like to increase the number of food vendors beyond one. The plan for this site is, the intended use of the property will be to enrich the community by providing entertainment options while ensuring compliance with local ordinance. We anticipate about.
If you have a conversation going on, can you take it outside so that everybody can hear him, please? Thank you.
I anticipate about 2 to 3 events per month at maximum, and these events would be scheduled to offer diverse entertainment options for the community, including but not limited to live performances, outdoor dining, and experience recreational activities. The permits I'm asking for will not require any, and I'm not proposing any permanent structure changes. So what I provided you guys are my site plans. So this will be the first example of my site plans. This is basically where I'd be intending to use my facility for entertainment purposes. All these structures here are temporary structures, so food vendors, pop-up tents, and stages that require no permanent structure changes to it. It will all be temporary. They would only be up during the time of the event. Usually my events are scheduled for operating hours, so between 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturdays, and then on Sundays would be 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. This is an example of, this is the landscape. This is exactly how it sits when it was built. I'm not suggesting or asking for any changes to that property or to the property. These are my elevations. Again, this is the way it was built. I'm not going to be changing the structure. Those are my interior elevations. This is a second example of my interior elevations. This is the interior of the floor plan. Nothing is going to change. Everything is going to be sitting as it is. This is an aerial view of the property, an example of how I would be using the property at maximum capacity. So these pink squares right here are what I would use as vendor booths. These are the sections of the vendor booths I would use. All the blue sections are going to be trash and recycling receptacles. Those will be spread out through the property to avoid litter or any trash or litter getting exposed into the city, so we'll be able to have everything controlled. The green squares will be my stages. So if I have live entertainment, I usually put them up here because of the power source that's available to them. Over here is usually where I would put a DJ because I use a mobile DJ vendor. So he brings a trailer, parks it, and then when he's done, he just moves it. The purple sections is usually where I would put my seating. So foldable tables, chairs, again, nothing. They're all plastic, so easily removable, easily placed. And then this red line right here is my emergency, my vehicle emergency sections that are cleared at all time. You could fit more than, a fire truck through that. And they're to be cleared at all times. No one's allowed to be in there. I have it sectioned off. We tell all the vendors that they have to keep that section clear. I provide the map for them. I also let them know that these pit sections are usually where the vendor sections will be. And when they're told about the ability to bring a pop-up tent, they're required to have either tie downs or weights on them to avoid any kind of weather problems that would cause them to be lifted up or hurt anybody. My food vendors are usually in this section here. Just because this whole area inside the green line, that is my writing academy course where we teach anywhere from novice to intermediate writers on how to write, or if they need certification to get their license. My dealership CMV is certified, so we're able to certify them through the DMV, and they can go take that certification there, and they'll get their motorcycle license. So, all this, the food vendors are in actual parking spaces to avoid any kind of, if there's an accident or spillage because of mechanical problems, it'll avoid destroying or damaging my course. The outside of the green section between the property line, pink property line, and the green line there, that's to be cleared at all times to allow emergency vehicles to get in and out, as well as the parking. You'll see inside the blue and green line, that's all parking right here. So that's all to be cleared to allow parking for the attendees or my patrons of the business. The next thing I have is a picture of an example of the temporary structures that we usually use. This is a 10 by 10, this is a 10 by 20. The tops are made out of canvas material. They're aluminum frames, so they're not permanent structures. They're easily taken down and put back up. This is an example of the 10x10. I have 7.8 feet on the sides. The middle goes up to 11 feet. This will be an example of the 10x20 pop-up. Again, it's the same dimensions. This one's just double the size. I believe that's all. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Let me open it up to the public. Is there anybody who would like to speak on this agenda item? Seeing no one, closing it to the public. I just had a really quick question. With the use permit, I don't know who can answer this. Would he be able to do the setup in the parking and would he be able to use, like, if he wanted to set up all the tents in the front parking, or would it have to be a condition that he only could use that site of the property with the use permit? Because my biggest concern is that we only have so much parking there, and then we have the Las Vegas sign, so the traffic he might want to, on a day with the use permit, get tents out there and promote whatever he wants to promote, which I'm okay with it in the back and what he's planned. But would he be able to use that use permit in the front? Because it's the whole property, correct? So where does that lie in this? Would that just be in a condition then, that he would be able to
that's
use?
That's a really good question. So he does do temporary events constantly. So this is what the special use permit is, to allow him to do more than what's permitted for COVID. The parking is required regardless of events or regular daily.
Right, but he could move the parking in back, right? If the tents aren't there, he'd put the tents in the front and the parking in back. It would be, as long as he has parking spots, correct?
He needs the parking spaces. So he would, for the temporary, he would refer to the temporary work. He's allowed to cover a percentage of the parking, but not all.
Okay.
So that's not restricted totally. I could find it in the code if you want me to.
My biggest concern is just on the property. I know you have larger events in this one, but if you wanted to do a small event in the front, because like we have events that go up and down the strip, or we have like holiday, whatever you want to do, my biggest concern is that you would want to utilize the front, because you do have a big parking lot. I mean, I don't know how many spots you have to have, and if they consider, because you have all the sides, and so that's my biggest concern, is that it would move to the front. Yeah. But that's my only concern, not that I...
If it makes you feel better. So I would not use the front parking space. I have a tour bus that comes around every hour, and that causes, that's a huge safety issue for patrons.
And that's profit for you, so you're not going to make that harder on yourself, right?
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you, they probably don't bring as much profit as they think. But the main thing is that because that bus comes around, and also, too, a lot of my patrons are tourists, and because that there's a lot of Ubering and taxi drivers coming through the front, I do not allow front events. If I do, I've done it once and I didn't like it.
Okay.
It was just a huge safety reason.
Just my concern is that I didn't want the whole thing in front, because I mean, you want people to see what you're doing. So that was my biggest concern with the permit, the use permit, would that be allowed? But
right. Yeah.
Other than that, I don't have anything.
On top of that, most of it is scheduled stuff, so we don't necessarily, and it's for the local community, so I promote it at events of time. I'm not necessarily looking for the tourists. It's really more to enrich the local community. I think the tourists have a lot to do with the strip and everything like that.
And you had a thing, you were just mentioning security issues, so I'm sure you've covered this, but I just want to, how are you keeping those areas, the emergency area, clear? Like you said, you could drive a fire truck down there.
Right, so on the site...
Do you have staff to do that?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, do you have staff to make sure that's in there?
On events day, so halfway through the property, if you look at the aerial view, there's a black gate. what I do is I have cones that cone off that area to allow only a motorcycle to come through the back. When I do events, I usually reserve the back for motorcycle parking only and vendor parking only. So I usually have cones that will block off that back portion to allow a motorcycle to come through. And then I have special signs made. I probably should have brought those. I apologize for that. But I do have special signs made that to that says event parking in the back, and that I have signs for that portions where allowed. It says motorcycle parking beyond this point.
And you have staff in to make sure.
Yeah, and then staff will be placed. And the staff is always
the same
placed.
Thing for your shade tent that you have out there. Different setups that you have that they're tied down.
People
make sure that is what.
Yeah, so
happens.
I'm the one that checks everybody, all the vendors in, and before we open up, I do a run of the property to make sure that they're all within compliance of my rules and regulations. So I will go through anybody that has a pop-up. I require them to have either tie-downs to a solid structure like their vehicle, their motorcycle, or they're required to have weights on each one of the legs, because my very first event, I learned that very quickly. Yeah. I was on the second story and there was a pop-up tent like eye level with me. I was like, oh my God.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure that you had people to take care of that and you're personally.
Yes. So I have, per my events, I have different staff doing different things, and then I roam around the entire event checking in with everybody to make sure we're continuously within compliance throughout the entire time. As soon as I find anybody out, they're asked to leave the event.
Thank you.
I have a quick question.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
I'm more used to car shows versus motorcycle shows.
Yes.
So you don't have actually a motorcycle show where everybody brings their vehicles or their bikes,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, kind of, you know, sits by them on lawn chairs and stuff like that. You don't do that.
No.
And that's not happening in the front.
So I haven't had a motorcycle show yet. We have had, I do have an upcoming event called Iron Goddess, which is an all-female motorcycle event. So they do bring their vehicles to display.
Okay.
We're going to have a section where they park specifically for people who want to show off their bikes, and then we have another section for people who want to just park. So we split that back map up.
Do you have enough parking for that?
Yeah, so what I would use is...
You can just tell me if you've got enough.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're
and then
meeting
in your statement, you said you would do off-site parking too.
Right.
Didn't have
if,
enough, so.
If needed, yeah.
Yeah.
And
coming from a car background, you know, everybody sets up their own little tents.
Right.
With their cars in it or
correct.
Their bikes in it, and then sits there with their
yeah.
with their vehicles.
For
and that includes a whole lot of
no.
other tents,
understood.
Not like the tent that
understood.
You show, and that one you could look at.
Yeah. So for motorcycle shows, usually they line them up in a row.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you'll have the tents back in a different section.
Okay.
So I don't know if you saw this last weekend Super Saturday. They had it was a car and truck show, but they had all the cars just lined up next to each other, and then the vendors
yeah.
or the clubs were put in the
yeah.
vendor section, and that's kind of how we're,
okay.
that's what we're thinking of.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am.
So how often do you do these? It seems like a lot of fun.
Right now I'm limited to one event per month, six per year.
Right.
So that's how much I do
year.
It. Yes, and that's actually why I wanted to do it, because you know there are several different motorcycle clubs in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, I work with the Combat Veterans Association, who is actually sponsored by Harley-Davidson Motorcycle Company. I would like to start working with the Buffalo Soldiers, who is another veteran sponsored motorcycle club that is sponsored by the Harley-Davidson Motorcycle Company. So it's getting involved into like those types of clubs, like the veteran clubs, the like there's Christian clubs, I mean just family oriented things.
So if I show up without a bike, I'm probably
you should definitely come talk to me and
okay.
We'll get you licensed
yeah.
and set up, and you're gonna
okay.
have a great time.
Well, if there's nothing else, Madam Chair, I think a motion to approve the use permits subject to preliminary staff conditions.
There's a motion on the floor to approve with preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? You move forward.
Thank you very much.
Have
appreciate
a good night.
You.
Nice presentation. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it was a nice presentation.
And then you can take these, so you can take them with you.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Use them.
I will.
Yeah. Okay, the next agenda item, BS260002, Acree WS25... 2020 LLC vacant and abandonment portion of the right-of-way being Warm Springs Road located between Paradise Drive and Eastern Avenue within Paradise.
Jennifer Escobedo, 1555 South Rainbow Avenue, Las Vegas, 8946, representing the
applicant.
It's not working.
Is it?
Just a moment.
It's right in the middle, just split up.
No.
Is it working now?
Did you get her name and address?
I just need you to spell your last name, please. Escobedo.
Thank you. Okay.
So I was here a few months ago. We did waiver standards for the Murphys. That's at the corner of Warm Springs Road and Windshine Way. And we had asked for a waiver on the detached sidewalk, which ironically you guys approved. However, the commissioner wanted it anyway. So we have to come back with this vacation to vacate the 5 feet of right way so we can provide the detached sidewalk that's in the location where that's highlighted in red.
Okay. Okay. Is there anybody here that would like to speak on this agenda item from the public? Seeing no one, closing it to the public, opening it to the board. If nobody has any comments, I'm going to make a motion to approve of the preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? And you go forward.
Have a good night.
Have a good night. Okay, next agenda item, WF260030. Donatin and Ricardo Ramirez, waiver of development standards to reduce the rear setback of an existing accessory living quarters in conjunction with an existing single family residence on a 0.16 acres in an RS 5.2 residential single family 5.2 zone, generally located north of Hacienda Avenue and west of San and Cibolimo Street within Paradise. Make sure you say your name and address for the record, please.
Larry Sanchez, are you the microphone?
Yes, because it's being recorded.
Just make sure you hit the switch in the middle.
It should be on it. Look green.
Should be green.
Okay.
There you go.
Put it down. Larry Sanchez, 1744 Sarnbrook Street. Engineer of record representing the homeowner here tonight. Staff, we are asking the town board to hopefully grant us permission for a existing as-built accessory structure in the backyard. The history, if you will, behind this is that this accessory dwelling originally was a permitted garage shed originally, and then what happened, we owner went ahead and added a certain square footage, about 360 square feet, to the permitted shed garage. At that point, when they did the expansion, they also converted the garage into habitable space as well, making it one accessory structure. We are here tonight to, due to a setback hardship, so to speak. The lot line, as you can see, slants there a little bit towards the northeast, which unfortunately the structure encroaches about 3 feet into the property line of the 5 foot setback. And that's where we're at here. We are asking again for hopefully an approval on this matter due to the fact that the neighbor in the back has a large clear distance. They have a structure about 20 to 30 feet away from their rear yard lot line, and we don't feel it's imposing any hardship or any negative impact on this neighbor directly behind them. We also have three letters of support from adjacent neighbors I could give to you.
Is that for us to keep it in the record? Yes. You could give it to the secretary, she can. Thank you.
These letters of support
are with this neighbor here to the west, the neighbor to the upper north quadrant here in the back, and then the neighbor here on the side. So we have neighboring support. We feel, again, that this is not imposing a major hardship on the property. It's just unfortunate that his rear lot line slants. If it was straight, it would be within the setback distances.
Is that it? If you're, that's fine. I just want to make sure you're finished so I can open it to the public.
Yes. Again, this is what we're applying for. We are in the process of also applying for building permits. And one thing that came very apparent is the fire code. So this note here says that the roof, this wall adjacent to the slanted property line, has to be 1 hour fire rated and tested and UL listed, and the homeowner knows that that assembly has to be met to satisfy the fire code. And that is it.
Okay. Is there anybody here from the public that would like to speak on this agenda item? Seeing no one, closing it to the public, open it to the board. Got your
microphone? Do you have anything? So, just to get my mind straight on this, there was a shed there originally, correct?
Yes,
garage. And okay. And that was built without a permit?
No. The original shed does have a permit. Did have a permit originally.
Okay.
It was approved.
The staff report says the previous shed was extended and constructed without a building permit.
Okay. I have the actual paper that shows the permit.
Okay.
The shed.
So the original structure did have a permit.
Yes.
That was all good. The applicant built onto it without a permit, correct?
Correct.
When did that happen?
Are you the...
Yeah.
You have, if you're going to speak, you have to state your name and address, or he can speak for you. I just want to get you on record if you would like to speak.
Okay.
It's up.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, my name is Ricardo from New York City. I'm the owner. Yeah, it was started like a year and 3 months ago.
Okay. So turn the shed into a casita?
Yeah, that was there.
How many folks do you have living in there?
No, that's the former brother. Nobody's living there.
So no one's living in the living accessory structure?
No, nobody's living there.
Is somebody going
in
to
the house? I'm living in the house.
Is there an intention for someone to live
there?
I mean my brother, yeah.
Okay. Well, so once that's done, you're just your brother?
Done. Yeah.
Okay.
Can you show me how a fire truck and things would
demo the fire permit?
Yeah, where the fire is, where you would go through if you need to get to the backyard?
Yes, the fire access would be through these gates right here, and then from here you could egress through the side of the property to get up and around the property.
Okay. How far is that from your neighbors? Not that, the other one, the side one.
Oh.
Yeah.
This distance?
Yes.
6 feet from the edge of the eave of the roof, not the wall. So from the wall it'd be 7 feet, but from the roof eave it'd be 6 feet.
So far, personnel get in, they go down the side. Is there any room to get to the back side there? Once they get to the edge of that,
yeah.
Can they get in there? Or do they have to go all the way around the other way?
That's a great question. If there was a fire, again, they have gates, not just here, but they have a gate on this side as well, as they can.
But that puts them clear across from the other side of the property from where the fire is at.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't have a problem if the thing had been built, and according to staff, there was room. If they could get around that edge, but they can't. They're either going to have to go in through the neighbor on the other side, or they're going to have to come to the other side of the property and go around. And how would they do that? What access would they have from where you're saying?
Well, they could provide, if you will, there's access through this gate and this wall right here. These are existing fences for privacy, if you will, in the garden. But there could be access through here as well. Okay. That can transport you.
So they can't get back then?
There is a possibility, yes.
Just about the same way as
as
they did the other way, just go around through there to that side. Yes. Okay.
I just have a quick question. So you built the original structure, or you bought it?
No.
So you bought it, because my comment was going to be, if you originally did, you knew there was a permit, and then you added on. I didn't know if you knew that you could not. So
I even reached to the title company, because I thought everything was okay with that. So when I bought it, was the original structure there. I just added.
You just added the footage in the front to make it larger.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have anything else?
Well, I'll give us a motion if no one has anything else.
Go ahead.
I'd make a motion to approve under the if approved conditions, solely because there is fire access and you have talked to your neighbors and they don't have a problem.
Yeah, I have the support of my neighbors.
Okay, so that would be my motion, is to approve subject to if approved conditions.
With the preliminary staff conditions?
I thought staff denied it was denied.
They did.
So, it'd be,
so it's if approved.
If approved,
right?
Conditions.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a motion on the floor to approve with conditions?
No.
I've never said it that way.
Approve it subject to staff's
if
approved conditions.
Okay, you got that?
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? You're good to move forward.
Thank you.
I saw that. Yeah, that's I have.
You got it.
She's got it.
That's why I questioned your eyes.
Okay. My craziness, and I'm like, I'm just not comprehending that way you worded. Just me. SDR260010. SG Vegas Owner LLC, sign design review and increase the number of electronic signs in conjunction with the previous approved comprehensive sign plan for the existing shopping center on 9.46 acres in a CR commercial resort zone generally located east of Las Vegas Boulevard, south and south of Harmon Avenue within Paradise. Welcome.
Good evening, Liz Olson, 1980 Plaza Drive. Here on behalf of the applicant.
Oh, there we go.
You guys have seen this project?
Oh, excuse me, gentlemen. One more time. Were you talking? I just hear voices somewhere. I hear it. I apologize. I just hear voices and it's hard to concentrate. There you go. Go ahead.
So this is a site you've seen multiple times. It's the new Boulevard Shopping Center right on Las Vegas Boulevard here south of Harmon. The application before you this evening is the signage for the new Netflix House experience that is currently approved in this portion of the southern building here. We originally got this overall signage master plan approved for the entire center. Essentially what we did is we got electronic signage approved along the entire face of the building to give tenants the most flexibility. Included in part of this request was a total of 90 animated signs. So the reason we're before you this evening is because Netflix, this is the area that they'll be developing here. What they're wanting to do is essentially break up the one animated sign into nine smaller signs. So now instead of 90 animated
designated signs were happening to request 98, but technically we're actually smaller because we're covering up some of that animated signage. So it'll just be 9 total animated signage with the red areas kind of portioning it out, and then the animation will just kind of go around and over all of them. And then the other portion is just their entry here, and then they'll also be including a new mural along the escalator on the south side of the building, which is also currently approved under the master signage plan. So that is all I have for you. This is the area that it's going to be going in between the Puna and the Pandora. Happy to answer questions.
Anybody here from the public that would like to speak on this agenda item? Seeing no one, closing it to public, open it to the board. If no one has any objections, I'd like to make a motion, or does anybody want to approve with staff conditions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Have a good night. BS260021 Galcos LLC vacant and abandonment of portion of right of way. Being on Windy Road located between Pico Avenue and Sunset Road, and a portion of right-of-way being Sunset Road located between Windy Road and Esworth Street within Paradise.
Number 7 is theirs also.
Oh, it was 7 theirs? Do you want to read them together?
Oh, and
okay.
7, 8.
You want to do 7 and 8 too together? I think that we should...
Seven,
do you
eight,
want to read them all together?
6, 7, 8.
Okay. UC260020 Galcos LLC use permit of the following outdoor storage and display, truck parking and staging, waiver of development standards for the following and non-decorative fence, 2 increased fence height, and 3 reduced approach distance. Design review for additional development consists of the proposal outdoor storage and display and proposal truck parking and staging on a 3.57 acre portion of a 6.91 acre site in IL Industrial Light Zone within Airport Overlay, generally located north of Sunset Road and west of Windy Road within Paradise. TM 2650002 Galcos, is that how I'm saying it correct? The LLC tentative map consisting of 1 commercial lot on a 6.91 acre in an IL Industrial Light Zone tentative within Airport Overlay, generally located north of Sunset Road and west of Windy Road within Paradise.
Good evening. Lucy Stewart, 1930 Village Center Circle, representing the applicant. And the first item that you read in was the vacation and abandonment, and that is to vacate 5 feet of right-of-way on Sunset and then also on Windy. That's to allow us to do the detached sidewalk. So then we'll have 5 feet of landscaping, the sidewalk, and 5 feet landscaping. So I think it's the only detached sidewalk in the area, but that's the new way, and we're happy to do it. The north half of the property was approved in 2002 for Nevada Beverage. When you're driving north on I-15 and you see that big sign with a beer bottle in the front, it was approved 24 years ago for them to park their semis, their trucks, the trailers and all in that area. They're now wanting to expand to the south half. At that time, there's a 6-foot wall, six-foot chain link fence put around the entire property. We're willing to take it down and put 8 feet because I think the code now requires on industrial that 8 feet we're going to have any type of security fencing on top. Where we end up with some issues is that the request to increase the fence closer to the street. We're still needing a 6-foot setback, but I think traditionally in the industrial areas, you're going to find that most of the fences are a little bit closer than the setback. And then we're asking to not do a block wall along the frontage. We are doing, again, in the front, there'll be the landscaping, the sidewalk, and then more landscaping along the street frontage. And then we're asking to do an 8-foot fence with screening in it. And as you can see, it's pretty heavily landscaped around there. So this will probably be the best looking property in this industrial area. If you look down the street, you can see that I have it's a 6-foot fence, which has got then wire on the top, no landscaping, and it is within the setback. And this actually is property that's owned by the county. But it's on a lease, and I think that's where a lot of the trucks are parked for when they do conventions. They do a lot of their truck. They give the trucks and the favors in that area. And again, this is another fence if you're driving heading west to our site. We would be the only solid wall in the area. And there's also sort of another issue. This is our parcel, but you can see this is where the overpass is going on Sunset to go over the I-15. So there's it's raised up, so you'd actually be looking over the wall into the property. So I don't know that adding a wall does much for it. Plus, there's also the barricade here that's also going to block it. So with that, we're asking for approval. You can kind of see that where the overpass goes up and over. With me is the engineer, and he did talk to Public Works, and he can address the moving of the driveway.
Jesse Patchett, 2685 South Ring Road, Suite 212, City Engineer on behalf of the applicant. So the original application for the process through planning included a proposed driveway located close to the intersection of Sunset. It was further from Sunset than the taco shop across the street, but we did see in the staff report that Public Works was opposing how close our driveway was to Sunset. I met with Public Works and discussed pushing our driveway further north, as shown in red. Gives us about 125 feet spacing to Sunset versus the 40 that we have now. It keeps us about 101 feet from the existing driveway entrance on Lindy. Talking to Public Works, they said they would support this if they were to push the driveway further north.
So we can't make it perfect because then it gets too close to the other driveway, but I think it probably has a pretty minimal impact because there's not a lot of traffic that comes in and out of the side. It's really just to store their trucks there. So just when they go to need to get to go get a truck or put a truck in there, it's not a heavily trafficked area. So that we respectfully request your
Hold on. Someone said something.
It's his fault.
Okay. I'm going to open it to the public. Is that okay? Okay. I'm going to open it to the public and see if anybody would like to speak on this agenda item. Is there anybody from the public? Seeing no one, closing it to the public and open it to the board.
Madam Chair, if no one has any comment, I'd make a motion to approve 6, 7, and 8. Subject to staff's full merit conditions.
There's a motion on the floor to approve agenda items 6, 7, and 8 with preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Wait, I have a question.
Oh, once we took...
No. You.
Okay.
Okay, staff denied the whole thing, so that's what you're...
No, staff denied number 8.
Number seven
was a no, but 8 was a yes, and 6 was a yes.
Okay,
so you might want to.
So with 8, it would be with the if approved conditions.
Number
seven. 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 Seven.
So do I do 6 and 8, and then
yes.
So just to go ahead and approve it in one motion.
If approved. Okay, so the motion on the floor is to approve agenda items number 6 and 8 and 7 if approved with preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Good to go.
Okay.
Yeah, this one's gonna. So for items number 9, 10, 11, and 12, we're going to read them all together. Is that okay?
Excellent.
Okay, so number 9, ZC260022, Wigmom and Eastern LLC zone change to reclassify 1.13 acre from a RS20 residential single family 20 zone to an RS52 residential single family 5.2 zone, generally located north of Wigwam Avenue and west of Eastern Avenue within Paradise. Agenda item 10, BS260023 Wigwam and Eastern LLC vacant and abandonment easement of interest to Clark County located between Wigwam Avenue and Camaro Avenue and Eastern Avenue and Spencer Street within Paradise. Agenda item 11, WS260024 Wigwam and Eastern LLC waiver of development standards for the following 10 to reduce setbacks, increase retaining wall height, design reviews for the following. Proposed single-family residential development to allowing alternate yards on 1.13 acres in an RS5.2 residential family 5.2 zone, generally located north of Wigwam Avenue and west of Eastern Avenue within Paradise. Agenda item number 12, TM265003 Wigwam and Eastern Avenue LLC, tentative map consisting of 5 single family resident lots and common lots on a 1.13 acres in a RS5.2 residential single family 5.2 zone, generally located north of Wigwam Avenue and west of Eastern Avenue within Paradise. Welcome.
Thank you for reading that. Good evening, Robert Cunningham, 6030 South Jones Boulevard, with Dan Engineering, representing the applicant. First, I'd like to draw your attention to where our site's located. So this is Wigwam, and this is Eastern. We're approximately 1,000 feet, give or take, to the west of Eastern. We're proposing a 5-lot cul-de-sac located with one access point coming up of Wigwam. What we have is it's a very small little street that's subbed into here. We have the appropriate size turnaround and everything for the county. This has been laid out in a manner where there are 2 lots adjacent to the property to the east and 2 lots adjacent to the west, and there's 1 lot tucked in the middle to the north, so 5 lots in that manner. The perimeter landscaping is going to be consistent with the detached sidewalk that's required along the Wigwam. We'll be planting the required curb required trees and putting in the detached sidewalk along the Wigwam. There are 4 residential homes planned, 4 different types of residential homes planned for this site. They range in size from 3,000, just over 3,000 square feet. This one's 3,028 square feet. It's a little hard to see here. But this is a single story plan. Elevation. Each of the homes has at least 3 different elevations, meeting all of the county's code requirements for pop outs, color, roof, breakup, all of those requirements. Here's another single story plan. I'll show you. This one is approximately 2,500, almost 2,600 square feet. This one has options for a 3-car garage and additional bedrooms. Single story home as well, with heights of the homes ranging from 20 feet on the single story ones at the max of the apex of the roof. And then they have 2 optional 2-story plans that are proposed as well, and those range in size. This one is 2,300 square feet, 2-car garage. This one has colored elevations that I can show you here. Different renderings of colored elevations that are proposed with different pop-outs, roof breakups, everything meets the county code requirements. This one here is 2,090 square feet. Again, 2-story with 2-car garage for all 3 4-bedroom homes. Here's the colored elevations at the front, meeting all the code requirements for the county. Along with this proposal, there are 2 waivers, or there's several waivers being requested. I'd like to go over each one of those. One of the first ones being requested that I'd like to address is a waiver for fill, excess fill on the site. So county allows up to 3 feet of fill to be provided on the site within 5 feet of the property line. Due to the nature of this site slopes relatively flat from Wigwam to the rear. It's thought that we would have to elevate like the adjacent subdivision did and drain a portion, if not all, of our subdivision back to Wigwam. There is not currently any drain easements on the direct adjacent properties that we could drain into. There's potential in discussing with the county that some of the site may be able to drain into a property that's catty corner, but we don't currently share one point, so it's going to be a bit of a challenge to get water across at one point. So we have made provisions and requested a waiver to allow the entire site to drain back to Wigwam. In doing so, we would have to elevate the back portion of the site upwards of 5.5 feet or so. The county staff had us round up in a request to 6 feet, but we believe we can do it about 5. And I wanted to show you what the adjacent property that currently has this on it. This is our next door neighbor to the west of us. They currently have a 5 foot retaining wall with a 6 foot screen wall on top of it. Their entire cul-de-sac drains to Wigwam, and this is the drainage pattern we believe that we will have to mimic and follow. So what we're doing is asking for waivers to be able to build basically what exists already next to us. That addresses the height requirement there as well. I also brought a copy of the detail of the plans. Just so you can see, this is the wall that was built right next to us. They got approved for 5 foot with up to a 9 foot max wall on top of it. So right next to us, they have up to a 14 foot high wall. And it indicates that they had a waiver approved on that site as well. The other waivers that we requested were related to setbacks. I'll show you this. This is our proposed layout. Apologize, it's turned sideways. So this is Wigwam. This is our cul-de-sac. These are the potential homes I showed you plotted on these 5 lots. So these 3 lots are slightly bigger than the other ones to allow for a single-story home to be plotted on these. These 2 lots over here are situated so that there would be only 2-story homes basically being able to be plotted. In order to accommodate the single-story home on this little lot, the setback in the rear is 20 feet. But we think it would be better to put a single-story home on here and have the reduced setback in the rear down to 15 feet, just over 15 feet. The other reduction in setback that we asked for is this lot is just a hair under 45 feet, which is the minimum width for it to fit the home. So we actually asked for a tenth of a foot, but staff again has requested that we round up in our request. So I think you'll see in the write-up it says 4 foot setback on the side instead of 4.9. And this one is a 15.19 foot setback, but 315. So we believe that having a single-story home adjacent to this lot to the north here, where they don't currently have a structure here, they have accessory structures, as you can see right here, that are about 5 to 8 feet away from the property at both locations here, but in the middle, this one doesn't. So we thought putting a single-story home here would help with protection of views and people overlooking. So that's going to conclude my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any additional questions you may have or move on from office. Thank you.
Is there anybody here that would like to speak on this item, gentlemen? What we need you to do, if you want to speak, come up, state your name and address, and you can either stay in your seat or you can get in line. How many people are here to speak on this agenda item? Okay.
My name is Tom Papagna, P-A-P-A-G-N-A. I live at 2262 East Wigwam Avenue, the property bordering this application on the east. From my home west to Spencer Street, there are 11 homeowners, and I spoke with 8 of them. All 8 are opposed to this project for various reasons. They mentioned, of course, traffic, and they mentioned the fact that why can't we stick to existing zoning? If they built 2 homes on this property, like what it calls for, they wouldn't need to ask for setbacks and all those other things. And the two homes would actually have a backyard. One of my neighbors also mentioned a good point that nowadays households have 2 to 3 cars. That's 10 to 15 cars in an acre. Where are they going to park them all? People don't usually use their garages. I would also mention that the property directly to the west, he showed the pictures up there of the big homes, directly to the west of this vacant lot, is a gated community, beautiful little gated community with nice homes on them, There are five homes in that gated community, but it's on 2.5 acres. And there's no traffic flow. They have parties in there and they control the cars. So I want to say that the zoning in my neighborhood has changed before. My area used to be a rural preservation area. And when apps for high density housing came in, we came down here in numbers, and this board always voted for us. And the reason, primary reason, was not to change the character of the neighborhood, blah, blah. But when we went to the Planning Commission, we always lost. And I realized that we were up against big money and hundreds of houses. This is one lot with a couple of houses. Three more homes aren't going to affect affordability. It's not going to affect the housing shortage. So in closing, I would say that I don't think that changing this zoning, change for the sake of change, is not progress. One other thing. This property is on the market. It's for sale right now. And this is the listing. This is the listing of it right now. And I want to quote something. It says, parcel has a planned use of low intensity suburban, allows up to 4DU/AC. Build 1 to 5 homes. I don't believe that's an accurate statement.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Robin Rocky, R-O-C-K-E-Y, and I am the neighbor to the north of the property here. I'm respectfully opposed to 5 homes being put on that property. I'll refer to the justification letter, the appropriateness of this requested zoning change for the area, the aligning with the approved entitlements for neighboring parcels. And let's just look at the reality of that. Yes, there is a cluster of homes to the south, and I believe that's what they're referring to. But directly to the east is my neighbor Tommy with horses. My property here, little house on the prairie, tiny little house on his property. There's an empty lot here next to me. There are 3 homes planned for that. It's empty right now. It's a vacant lot, but they were only allowed to build 3 homes there. We've got 5 homes to the west, but it's on twice the size lot. 5 homes, county corner here, mentioned already. So yeah, there are a lot of homes across the street, but directly adjacent are not a lot of homes. it's very, very rural. I don't see that this is a cohesive and harmonious fit. I understand the concept of infill development, the problem there. It does not address the immediate needs of the community as stated in the justification letter. It is not compatible with adjacent rezoning efforts by any means. So I just respectfully ask that we don't build 5 houses on this property. I understand something's going to be built there. That doesn't have to be 5. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else from the public that would like to speak on this agenda item? Seeing no one, I'm closing it to the public and opening it up to the board. I live in this area, and I deal with these little lots that people want to come in and just crunch as many, I call it profit over the wellness of the neighborhood. And I agree with you. I don't believe that we should put 5 houses on this property. I don't know what should go there because you have commercial to the east. You know, it's kind of a weird little property. And so that concerns me because sometimes you get worse than what you're getting. But I don't like the setbacks either because you're talking about large houses being put on small properties and then we lose any openness in our town. And as you drive around anywhere, it's constantly, we want to get a waiver of the setbacks. We don't want this. We don't want that. We don't want to develop it that way because we want to put 5. So my problem is I have a problem with the zoning start right out. So I guess that's my opinion. That would just kind of go with everything else with it. And she's right, the property, or whoever said next to it, they're larger openness, you know, and they're sitting on, you have three houses. I mean, probably I could get along with three and have a long drive. That probably wouldn't affect me much. But this, to cram that many houses on that little, I know I can't support it. I don't know about my board members.
I can't. If they have comment. Support it either.
I have a problem. I have a house that sits on a quarter acre, and the houses around me sit on about the same thing. And I'm trying to picture five houses on that total of four houses that are there. And I can't see it. And I just can't see it on this thing. I had to sympathize with the gentleman that was up first, and you said you had five houses in there, but it sits on 2 acres?
The property next to it.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
Five houses on 2.5.
2.5 acres, yeah. And now we want to put five houses on 1 acre, I think.
Just wanted to point out that staff has recommended approval of all items except for the waiver and the
No, they're not. They're doing 9, 10, denial of 11, and 12. And the reason why they did not 11 is because of the height setbacks and all that.
But I'm saying the zone changes.
But we're just an advisory board, we know what they recommended, but that's what we're kind of doing. We're listening to the neighbors. I'm familiar with the area. So basically what we're saying is that it's a small lot, and for you to want to put five houses on that, it just seems a little outside the norm of that area. And I know across the street they have like more, it's the back side of it, it's a little more density. But this one, I can't support it, but I don't know.
I just want to make sure you read the staff report.
Yes.
Thank you.
For free.
I agree
with the board. I think it's a three. When I was looking at the aerial, I was really shocked to see the size of the lot compared to the ones directly to the west. And then you showed a picture of the houses on that 2.5 acre lot. And definitely different than what you're proposing. I think probably need to go back to the drawing board on this one.
So I'm going to make a motion to deny item 9, 10, 11, and 12. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Have a good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you guys, you have to go, you're going to go to the BCC on 3-4. We're not the final decision, so it moves forward to the board to make sure you... Okay.
Have been down that road before, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay, BS26001921 Sunset LLC, vacant and abandonment or portion of right-of-way being Sunset Road between Surrey Street and Eastern Avenue, and a portion of right-of-way between Surrey Street located between Sunset Road and Helm Drive, alignment within Paradise. And do you want me to read... 14. WS26001821 Sunset LLC waiver development standards for the following: eliminate reduce buffering and screening and residential adjacent standards, design review for the purpose of office warehouse complex with accessory outdoor storage yard of a 2.46 acres in an IP industrial park zone within airport overlay, generally located south of Sunset Road and east of Surrey Street and within Paradise. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good evening. Lucy Stewart, 1930 Village Center Circle, representing the applicant. And this property has a little bit of history on it. This is actually what was approved in 2022, and it was under the old code. So in that time, we had six office warehouse buildings for a total of 43,100 square feet. Over here are apartments, to the south is a motel, and so there were two outside storage yards in 2022. In 2023, they had a potential tenant that came in that wanted to do an indoor soccer facility, but they needed a parking wave reduction because they operated at night, it was for children, the other warehouses during the day, and so they asked for a significant parking reduction at that time. It was approved at county commission, but they put a one-year review on it. At that time, the tenant said, yeah, I can't invest that much time, money, and energy for just 1 year, you know, on the chance that we get denied in a year. So the client came back and basically, you might say, this is like deja vu. It looks almost identical to the previous approval, except that the new code's been adopted. So the previous plan had a 10-foot landscape buffer on the east with just one row of trees. Now they have a 15-foot landscape buffer. They cannot build a wall, and they never could. They couldn't in 2022, and they can't now because there's an existing, like, 6-foot wall along here, and then it's stair steps, and it's a wrought iron fence along there that's on the existing apartments. But because there's an existing drainage channel or drainage easement along there, they can't build a redundant wall. And if they built another wall, it'd be on the other side of the drainage ditch, and then you'd have one of those no man land. So I think in staff's review, they basically say they don't have a problem with that. They seem to have a problem with the outside storage, which has been there all along. I don't know why there's an issue, except it's even better now because now we have a double row of trees. It's pushed further away from the residential. So I don't think it'll have any kind of impact on the neighbors at all. The vacation is to, again, there's an existing attached sidewalk on Surrey and I believe also on Sunset. Because again, especially with Sunset being such a busy street, we think it's prudent to go ahead and vacate it, tear off the sidewalk, and do the detached sidewalk. So again, it'll be 5 feet of landscaping, 5 feet of pavement, and then 5 feet. We also, inside the interior of the site, I think we're required for the parking lot trees, we're required to have 8, and we're providing 29. So I think there'll be an abundance of landscaping on the side. I think it'll look very nice. Staff seems to have the sticking point of the two outside storage areas, which have been approved every time this has come before. But again, the code changed, and unfortunately, you know, to make this make sense, it needs to have the small, and they're just small. They're not very big outside storage areas. But this is intended to be like, people would own their own buildings potentially, and there's not going to be heavy equipment out there. It's probably just very small storage. So, with that, we respectfully request your approval.
Is there anybody here from the public that would like to speak on this agenda item? Seeing no one, we're closing it to the public and opening it to the board. They're recommending denial of 1A, 1B, and I thought I read it clearly, and then what I was hearing what you, is it the code why they did it, or can you explain, just catch me up in my state of mind.
Why they're opposed to,
yeah, it? Why are they opposed to one, your waivers of development standards 1A and B, because I'm reading through it, and the reasoning kind of is...
Well, I can't say I really agree with why they're
just getting to, on, let's say standard number 1A, the intent, the buffering and screening, you were saying that, I was trying to follow along where you were showing.
This is what was approved in... This is what was originally approved 4 years ago.
Okay.
Well, 3.5, sorry. And it was a single row of trees. At that time, staff recommended approval. So, and we can't build a 6-foot wall along there. An 8-foot wall, which is now the code requires an 8-foot wall and 15 feet of intense landscaping. We can't do that because there's a drainage easement along there, and you can't build a wall in the drainage easement.
Right.
So if we built it on the other side, then you'd have that, one of those weird no man where you end up with homeless people there and animals and trash collects in there. So it's, I think sort of staff agrees that that makes sense to just not have to do it. And now with this plan, we have an additional 15 feet and double row trees. So even though we can't increase the wall height, I think it's better because you have nice intense landscaping along the east side. But that the sticking point seems to be the outside storage.
Yeah.
I don't know what they think is going to go on in there, but nothing nefarious, I promise.
Anybody else have any?
Yeah. I just want to know. Mine's on the storage, so you said you don't think it's going to be used for anything. So 2 years from now, when you parked an excavator in there, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in the future, even though you feel confident that it's.
You could always put a time limit for review and have it come back. Because if something's stored out there that you don't like,
or complaints on.
Yeah, or, you know, I mean, trust me, people complain. If they're, they don't like something, they're going to complain about it.
Yeah. Let's do that.
But the code does require that if you store something outside, it can't be above the height of the fence. So if it can't, like, be pallets that are 10 feet high or, you know, just thinking to store junk out there and have it pile higher.
You're not supposed to, but it seems to happen occasionally around town.
Okay, but again, that's a seasonal issue, but yeah. But it'll be nice, quite nice to see what the questions. Okay. Again, it's easy, that's easily remedied. It's just turn in a CC pro, then they go out there and I'll clean it up. But again, we don't have a tentative map, so my client, is my understanding, is going to own these, and so they're going to basically regulate them. So they don't want their property junked up. So
it's
sort of a self-regulating.
Do you want to make a motion?
I make a motion that we approve item 13 and 14 based on staff conditions.
Is this
a public hearing?
Yeah.
1 year review.
1 year review.
From, I don't know when we get it there.
Can I maybe suggest an 2 year review because we'll have to build them first?
That's what I was just thinking of.
There's a 2 year review on it, though, isn't there already?
It's not built.
But this one's going to be another one because staff, with staff recommendations, they denied A and B. So are you okay? Which
I would deny 14 also.
Okay.
So,
let me understand the motion.
Motion to, I thought you just said motion to approve.
I make it a point. Approve it because it was denied.
So you're approving subject to if approved?
If approved.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
We have a motion on the floor to approve, if approved, agenda item 13 and 14.
With a two-year public hearing.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
This is a good question. Okay. ZC260025 Strike Industrial LLC zone change to reclassify 0.46 acres from an RS20 residential zone to an IP industrial zone, generally located east of Topaz and north of Dustin Avenue within Paradise. And then 16. Is it okay if I read it together?
Yes.
Okay. WS260026 Strike Industrial LLC waiver of development standards for the following: allow attached sidewalks, waiver of off-site improvement, street lights, and 3 alternate drive geometrics, design review for the purpose of a proposed office warehouse building on a 0.46 acres in an IP industrial park zone within the airport overlay, generally located north of Dustin Avenue and east of Topaz Street. Within Paradise.
So you can see the area where.
Before you get
your name and address, please. Sorry.
Okay.
Richard Offley, 4710 West Dewey, to 135 Las Vegas, Nevada. We have the whole 2118.
There's another.
You're good. Go ahead.
All right. So the area presently is already being started to convert into IP, so there's really no residential in the area anymore. The address is, this is the Dustin and Topaz corner. This building has been demoed. So here's a blow up of the area, actual corner. But the building's gone, it's just desert right now. It needs to be rubbing, obviously. We're requesting to go to IP, which is basically what the entire area presently is right now, for retail, rental, or residential.
Okay.
waivers is for the entrance because the corner of the property doesn't accommodate for us to put the entrance into the property at the required distance. The code, so we ask for a waiver on that standard. And then also the property is so small for that, if we can do a attached sidewalk, which also matches the other IP that has gone on that has been approved already. So we're not going anyway, we're not going away from the area what's presently there. We're just asking to also build the property so it's barely present right now. We have a lot of the landscape buffer. The one issue is the warehouse door faces the Dustin Street, which is the side street. We've bumped up the trees to accommodate to block the door. There's no other place to actually put the door on the property for the warehouse. That's what we did. We originally were going to try to put a driveway there, but they didn't approve the driveway. Suggested we remove that driveway so that we could reduce waivers. We agreed and we accommodated that to make the property more accommodating for the actual waiver we need to request. Then adjacent to the property, there's another right here is another small property that strike out already owns presently right here for another industrial building. It's about the same size property.
Okay. Thank you.
That's it.
Okay, let me open it to the public. Anybody here from the public that would like to speak on this agenda item? Seeing no one, closing it to the public, open it to the board.
I don't have any problem with the rezoning. I don't think there's going to be any residential built in that area forever. Makes total sense to rezone. I do not have any issues supporting 3A or 3B. I think that those are just reflections of the site. However, I am not in support of your waiver number one or two. I think you do need to install streetlights, and I do think that the detached sidewalks need to be installed. If this is going to be a fresh installation and you have a fresh site, I think meeting us in the middle and installing streetlights and doing the detached sidewalks is a reasonable expectation for this site.
All the rest of the sidewalks for all the other IPs are all attached.
No, I know. Attached. I know. But this is a new construction, so you know it goes back and forth, and I know it's inconsistent. But the commissioners have made it clear that they like the detached sidewalks. They like streetlights.
The streetlights.
And I like
it. We can accommodate the detached sidewalk because of the setback standards.
Okay, I'm just letting you know what I support and what I don't. So,
okay.
3A, 3B, I think I support, and the reclass, but I would recommend to the board that we deny waivers 1 and 2.
What was the issue with the streetlights? Why did you want that waiver?
The current streetlights, there is no current streetlights in that area, so we would be the only person to bring up streetlights on that section of
the changes have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's totally undeveloped.
Yeah, I understand, but our property, the owner's property, is the lesser of the two properties that have been developed out there. Maybe the standard should have been set for the properties that have the greater volume of.
I don't know about that. I don't know if they were even built.
Yeah.
Before those standards, but I can't. I have to agree. I can't.
Yeah, I'm not opposing the street lights
or the sidewalk. Yeah. I can't support that.
So, Topaz doesn't have any lighting right, now, by what I'm looking at. I have not, I apologize, I didn't get out by this area on this one.
No, it's dark.
But there's not one, but I do feel like what, there is a larger property, and I don't know when it was built, to the side of that and across the street. So, I mean, I do understand what you're saying. Is there a compromise on the lighting for the county that we could, like, put as a condition that he would have to, is there, because, I mean, I do agree with, he's a small parcel, and he is trying to, whatever he's trying to accommodate here, is there another condition that we could put in for lighting other than street lights? You know, because, like, we have coach lighting we do for, you know, other homes that they don't have street lights. We do all this stuff. Is there a lighting that we could demand that he does in landscaping or on the building to light it up? Because is there any, I mean, the sidewalks, I'm kind of, I think we do have to start someplace, but I understand what you're saying about the lighting. Is there a way that we can put a condition to do controlled lighting landscaping? Because there is a way to do it. I've seen it in areas.
So lighting and sidewalks is a public works requirement. So I believe
if you do one, he's going to have to do both. Yeah.
And especially going into an industrial zone, I can get to an ornamental landscape lighting situation with a commercial, something like that, but it's going to be industrial.
Yeah. Can I ask, is there anything suggested by Public Works?
I don't know if that would be, we can do it.
I went through this with Public Works and they helped with what maybe we should.
I think that would be something you would have to go back to them and after we do our vote and before maybe your next going forward.
I got the assumption that Public Works is okay with what the waivers we presented. We actually had like 7 or 8 waivers and they reduced our waivers. So that's what I'm asking.
But you know they denied.
I'm not saying they accepted it. I'm just saying that they helped us narrow down the waivers. So.
So is that something he should just go back to, like, because we can't change, per code is what they are, you know, they're going to mandate you do no matter what. And they, so should we just do our condition, like, whatever we see, and then you could go back to them and see what you could work out before you go forward to your DCC 3, and work it out before, so you have that worked out before you go in front of the commissioners.
Yes.
That's what I would recommend for you. Okay, so do you want to make the motion?
I would move to approve item number 15 entirely, item 16, I would move to approve 3A and 3B and deny 1 and 2, and approve the design.
There's a motion on the floor to approve item 15 in its entirety and to deny, to approve 16, 3A and B and deny 1 and 2, and approve design review. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? So you move forward. Have a good night. General business, do we have any? Comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board council jurisdiction will be held. No discussions, actions, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. If applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name. We should rewrite that one. For the record, if a member of the board or council wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or board council by majority vote. Anybody would like to speak? Seeing no one, I'm closing this. Next meeting date is February 24th, 2026. There's a motion on the floor to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
No, I have.